T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What are you guys laughing at? I'm talking to you, Katz. I'm talking to you, Sweeney. What's so funny? You never seen guns like these, have you?
You know, the sun isn't out, but the guns are out in here.
It's 1,000 degrees in this building. I don't know if we didn't pay the bill or what's going on, but I just stripped down. By the end of this thing, Katz, I might just be in my boxers.
Usually this place is very well air conditioned, so seeing the guns this early. Oof.
It's not even 10. I'm looking at the clock right now, 9:59, and you got a muscle shirt on.
Boys, okay? Am I jacked? Little Sween in the Machine on a Monday morning. Pete Sweeney, Sports Machine, Sean Levine here on 610 Sports Radio and being heard all over the world online at theradio.com app. Obviously, we're talking a ton of Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take you inside the mind of the machine, and then we'll play a little bit of Super Bowl contender. Swipe left, swipe right. Is this team a Super Bowl contender or not? We'll talk about the most influential athlete ever, as well as plenty of other things along the way, taking you up until 2 o'clock. But, Pete, we must talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, more specifically Patrick Mahomes, and more specific than that, I was going to call it the throw, but I already think that we've made a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, especially when it comes to preseason play. What are the numbers on the throw? You said it went, 68 yards in the air?
Yeah, it went 68 yards in the air, and the narrative that has made national news is that that is 5 or 6 yards more than any pass in the air last year, meaning this kid in a game did something no other quarterback did last year.
If there's one thing about the Chiefs fan base, they are very knowledgeable, they're very intelligent, and they really know football up and down. Anybody that went to go Arrowhead Stadium during the Marty Schottenheimer era, or even before that, my grandpa always tells me, the days of the Wolfpack at Old Municipal Stadium, this is a very well-educated fan base. So, guys, come on. Jeff George had a really, really good arm. He could throw the ball 70 yards in the air. Jamarcus Russell, from his butt cheeks from the 50-yard line, hit the goalpost, Pete. I ask you this. Who cares? Mike Jacobs used to hit 500-foot home runs at Kauffman Stadium. Sometimes it's not about the oohs and the ahs. It's more about an entire skill set. And so I'm starting to feel like I'm that guy who, we've all got a friend who likes the indie music, right? And then the band becomes popular, and he's like, oh, that band sucks. I liked them 10 years ago. I knew about Imagine Dragons back in 1994. You know, we all got that guy. I'm starting to become that guy with Patrick Mahomes where I'll admit I'm a homer. I'm a Chiefs fan. This is my town. I'm very excited. But the fact that people have gotten so much more excited than me makes me feel like I have to temper at least expectations, be Mr. Reality here, and talk about the fact that throwing the football really, really, really far is a really good and cool thing, but it's part of a skill set is all it really is.
You know what? It's funny that you say you're a homer, because I think in this particular situation, you have the opposite homer take. I feel like there's a lot of Chiefs fans who are real excited about this throw. And what I think about it is it one play? Yeah, but it's just something that I think only a handful of quarterbacks can do. The thing that drives your point home, though, is before this throw happened, this entire week of talking about the Chiefs would have been completely different. We were looking at a game in which he was looking like a rookie, making some mistakes, threw a really bad interception that I thought reminded me of when Travis Kelce threw the football across his body last year. And then all of a sudden, on his final play, you get something magnificent. You have to call it that just because the numbers. I mean, you can't not. But for me, yeah, it's just, should one throw change how we were going to feel completely about the game? I don't know if that's the case.
I'm looking at the stats right now. I didn't realize this. Pat was good, right? 8 of 12, 138 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, a rating just under 100. You'll take all those numbers for your starting quarterback. The Chiefs' total quarterback numbers are insane. Chad Henne went 8 for 10, 85 yards and a touchdown. Matt McGloin went 9 of 10. I'm not good at math, but your backups went 17 of 20. That doesn't really matter because hopefully we're not going to see those guys too often. My question is, how often are we going to see that type of a pass as the season goes along? Because this offense is going to be as vertical as Chiefs fans have ever seen. If you want to take yourself back to the Dick Vermeil days, I think it's going to look a lot like that. But off the top of your head, who were Dick Vermeil's wide receivers?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Eddie Kennison and Snoop Minnis, and maybe he was like on the back end of Andre Bad Moon Rising. Not exactly the who's who. Not exactly Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Sammy Watkins. So I'm not sure you're going to see the 68 yards in the air, Tyreek Hill burning everybody, ball in the air for 5 seconds type thing. But I do think that it's going to be the most vertical offense that Chiefs fans have ever seen.
I kind of disagree just because of Tyreek Hill. I think that Tyreek Hill offers just a different aspect to this. Tyreek Hill, it's just funny because Tyreek Hill feels to me like he was almost made for Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes almost feels to me like he was made for Tyreek Hill. It almost feels like a match made in heaven type of situation. Like,
you're cheesy, dude.
Right time. It just feels that way.
I get your drift, though.
You know, like they're at the right place at the right time. Mahomes has his rocket arm. I don't know if there's a lot of wide receivers in the league that could have caught up to that ball. You know what I mean? And to Tyreek Hill's point, we were at training camp, and I said, has there ever been a quarterback, and you know that includes Mr. Alex Smith in Washington now, has there ever been a quarterback that has been able to hit you in stride down the field? And he goes, no, not until this year. And so to me, I think the chance for these dynamic plays is there. And I think there are a lot of aspects to this catch that maybe we're not even talking about. A, the pocket was breaking down. So my thought is, if the pocket is clean and Mahomes, you know, is back there and he doesn't feel any pressure, maybe that ball can go even further. And if you watch the end zone angle of this play, you got to watch Tyreek Hill. And this is why I've been driving the point home all offseason that I think this kid not only is a really good Kansas City Chief, not only probably is going to be the best wide receiver in Kansas City Chiefs history, he may be in the top five or the top one in receiving yards this year. Watch Tyreek Hill if you can on this play from the end zone angle. He looks over his shoulder three times. And the second time he looks back at this ball, he has another 10, 15 yards to go. He realizes instantly where this ball is going to be, 15 yards down, and makes the catch and brings it in. And then you got to talk about this dance in the end zone. This guy was twerking his butt off. And
I think it's the only way you can twerk, right?
The one thing that reporters want to know is why the twerk?
I'm happy, you know. The celebration was kind of off guard because I really didn't know what to do, so I panicked. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, you know. But I was having fun, though.
If you don't know what to do, you twerk.
Not just in football, but in life. You know what I mean? If you're not exactly sure what to do, you're in a job interview, they ask you that question that we've all been asked. So describe a situation in which, you know, you were uncomfortable at the workplace, and what did you do? I just get up and twerk. And I twerk. Feel free to hit us up on the Pepper Jacks Grill Famous Philly text line at 69306. Tyreek Hill, 4 receptions, 87 yards, that long of 69, and a touchdown. That's the good when it comes to wide receiver play. Pete, here's the bad. What the hell were the Chiefs doing paying Sammy Watkins? What's it like, $30 million guaranteed? What is it, 16, 14, 16, whatever it is, it's way, 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 way too much money. And there's people out there like Mike Moustakas who are scratching their head, who are like, yo, I've hit 40 home runs, quote unquote, close to it, back-to-back seasons. If I wasn't injured, would have been 3 years in a row, been to multiple All-Star games, won a World Series, and I get $8.75 plus tips. It doesn't make any sense. You had DeMarcus Cousins this offseason in the NBA. That guy signed for, I think, like $6.75 plus tips. I mean, these guys just aren't getting paid. And then you've got Sammy Watkins, who by the numbers is the fifth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. This city was really quick to turn their back on John Dorsey for three reasons. Three names: Alex Smith, Eric Berry, Justin Houston. If you look back at all three of those contracts and take injuries out of the equation, were any of those actually what you would quantify as a bad deal? Alex Smith, the Redskins didn't think that was a bad deal. Somebody decided to pay him. He had a career year last year. Eric Berry, when healthy, he's a top five safety. Justin Houston, probably a top five, six player at his position. When healthy, he would be the one that I'd say probably shouldn't have gave him $100 million. We were quick to say that's why he's in Cleveland and no longer in Kansas City. I ask you this. Why in the hell did Brett Veach pay Sammy Watkins that much money?
You know, it's super early in this, and I want to let that be known as I sort of get into this, but right now, it doesn't look good. It just looks like he is the Sammy Watkins that could potentially be injury-ridden.
He's never had a double-digit touchdown season. He's never had. He's had one 1,000 yard.
He doesn't look right. He doesn't look right. I mean, there's that isolated clip I saw around going around Twitter where they followed him throughout the play, and he looks like he's sort of jogging. I just don't know. I wonder after this game if the Chiefs may shut him down until the beginning of the season. He just doesn't look right to me. There has been no official word on injuries or anything like that, but I'm speculating here, but if he's right, then that's a problem.
Pete, he hasn't looked right since he got drafted out of Clemson, since the Bills traded up in the top five to get him. Look at his numbers. All Sammy Watkins, I hate to say this, because when I heard the Chiefs signed Sammy Watkins this offseason, I did like you did driving around in your car right now. I went, oh, hell yeah. We got Sammy Watkins, that guy from Clemson they traded up to get, and he looks the part. But the truth is, he's an average NFL wide receiver at best.
What I found really interesting about this game, and I understand it's a preseason, so sometimes things are different, is after the game, Andy Reid, in losing efforts or anything negative, he doesn't like to throw players under the bus. But Sam Mellinger asked a question of the Kansas City star, asked Andy Reid a question about the near pick in the end zone that Patrick Mahomes had earlier in the game. And Andy Reid said, Sammy's got to come back for that. That's a great one to learn from because we're going to do that. On that particular play, he has an option. Once he scrambles, he's coming back to that side. That's the scramble side. Sammy's got the opportunity to work that back end line. Andy Reid is the coach that is never going to throw players under the bus. And it was interesting to me that he would publicly say exactly what Sammy did wrong and how it's Sammy's fault. Like, to me, I think he does everything pretty methodically, Andy Reid. And maybe this was a little bit of a pseudo message. Hey, you got to get your stuff together here.
So the offense was the starting offense, what we saw against the Falcons. As far as the starting defense goes, bro, this is what I feared. They look terrible. The secondary is awful. They signed Orlando Scandrick because they had to. And David Amerson, was it you or Carrington who was waxing poetic about this guy? If it's not you, I don't want to talk too much smack. Was it you? Because David Amerson is not a very good football player.
I said I didn't hate the deal only because it's a contract.
Well, then you were wrong, Pete.
Only because it was a contract year. He's had an up and down career. If there's ever a year to have one of these up years, it's when it's a contract year. But right now, he kind of reminds me of the new Terrence Mitchell for sure.
Or Eric Warfield, depending on how far you want to go back. Oh, the problem is, signing Orlando Scandrick is a move of desperation. It's a move where the Kansas City Chiefs went, okay, what's our biggest position of need? Who's available? What kind of money do we have? And sometimes you find yourself in the Royals situation a few years ago where everything lines up, right? You got to the World Series the year before, and now you've got the assets at the minor league level, and the players are available, and Cueto and Zobrist, and everything makes sense. You make the move, you win the World Series. That's not what this is. This is a move that was made because it had to be made. If you watch that,
it's a sad move.
It's a pathetic move. It really is.
Because the Chiefs, too, and there was that whole thing with Bashaud Breeland where he was in and out of the dorms on the field. And it's like you're after the bell of the ball and you get your second choice in Orlando Scandrick. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
I suppose it makes the secondary a little bit better, right? Because that's the position that, man, they're
does it, though? I mean, does it?
Can it make it worse, dude?
Well, the way I look at it is we kind of know what Scandrick is. He's a 31-year-old man. We don't really know about some of these younger players like an Arian Springs or Tremont Smith. And now you throw Scandrick into that mix. Maybe those guys don't have to be thrown into the fires fast and you don't realize their ceiling. I mean, the PFF put Scandrick right along the same lines as Amerson.
What ends up screwing this team more as the season goes along, the secondary or the offensive line?
I think the offense is going to be good. I think that, so the secondary worries me a little bit more. I mean, offensive line, the Chiefs have had a bad offensive lines before. I mean, you've seen and watched for years Alex Smith running for his life and the Chiefs still managing to make the playoffs. The secondary is what can potentially lose you games.
Alex Smith actually was an underrated runner. Like I said back in the day that he looks like Huckleberry, but he runs like Eric Berry. You know nice. What I mean? Like, he's very pretty nice. Good.
Yes.
As far as escaping the sacks.
I think it all comes full circle because if you look at this season, and I said it over the weekend, we can get in more as the show goes along, but if you gave money to Sammy Watkins that you could have devoted to the secondary and it cost the Chiefs the playoffs, a win that gets you to 9 or a win that gets you to 10, we're going to look back at that Sammy Watkins deal and say, why did we do it?
It's so frustrating that we're talking about that right now. Instead of 4 weeks, 8 weeks into the season, we can at least look back on it and go, okay, he's not producing like we expected, not producing for the money that he's getting paid. But we're doing that 2 weeks into the preseason.
You got to keep in mind, and I understand this too. It's so early. It's so early. But, I mean, you can sense it. If you follow football and you're a diehard football fan, you can sense it. This Sammy Watkins deal right now doesn't feel good. You know, you just don't feel good about it right now. And it's just not the start you wanted. when for the entire offseason, Brett Veach is like, I love this guy. This is the guy I was going after. Where is it, man? And I understand it's the preseason, but it's a little worrisome for sure.
You got Sweeney and the Machine on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, we go into that dark and dangerous and twisted place, the mind of the machine on 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Burn from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Jason Ketz on the controls. Across from me is Pete Sweeney. I am merely the sports machine, Sean Levine, here on 610 Sports Radio and being heard all over the world on the radio.com app. Sweeney, you guys had your fantasy football draft yet?
It's this weekend. It's funny. We all had a lot of trouble figuring out when we were going to do it. And
yeah, you and every league out there with married kid, marriage and children and jobs. It's impossible.
I of course, need to, I'm pretty busy on Saturday with all the Arrowhead Pride stuff, with the game, the preseason games I'm coming up. So luckily my friends moved it to, we're doing it late at night. We're going to start at 10 o'clock on Saturday.
My suggestion is don't invite anybody that's not in the league. Like if you're a 12 team league, there should be 12 people there.
Agreed.
Obviously no kids, no wives. This is a dude's weekend or dudes in your case evening, but we had a few. My fantasy draft was this past weekend, and we had two or three stragglers. And the problem is, the stragglers get the most drunk, right? Because they don't really care about your football team, although they have a lot of suggestions. Hey, man, you might want to get Deshaun Kizer as your backup. I'm like, bro, I don't even know if he's still in the league or what team he plays on. And, of course, it's those two or three guys that have the suggestions that are the loudest. But my friend Rob, the drunkest of all, not part of the fantasy football draft, asked a great question. He came around, and it was like right before I picked, so I was pissed off at the time, but then I thought about it. He said, who's the most influential athlete of all time? It has to be Tiger, right? And I thought, just let me make my third-round draft pick, dude. We'll chew on this later. So you and I will chew on that coming up in the 11 o'clock Perfect. Hour. But right now, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
SummerSlam was last night. A, did you watch? And B, what's the proper age for a man to stop watching?
Ketz, you know I didn't watch. I would say when you get your permit, when is that, like 15 in Kansas and Missouri, you should probably grow out of wrestling. And at that point, boxing is always a good option. UFC is a pretty good option. The UFC and wrestling crossover to me doesn't make a ton of sense. I'll admit, I'm a huge fan of the UFC, and I think that wrestling as a grown man is a little bit laughable. Pete, hang on. I know you've got a lot to chew on here, but what was last night's two big matches? Am I wrong? Was Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar involved?
Yeah, both of them were involved in the two biggest matches of the night.
So let me understand this. Once you burn out of the UFC,
right,
then you go to the WWE. And then once you burn out of there, you come back to the WWE. And then you go back. How many times has this happened?
It's as much as the paycheck can allow for. Brock Lesnar now headed back to the UFC. And of course I watched.
So what did we miss?
SummerSlam.
So what happened?
Roman Reigns took the title from Brock Lesnar. Ronda Rousey is your new women's champion.
No way.
Yeah.
Was that pay-per-view?
It was.
Wait a minute. How old are you?
I am 29
and
years
you,
old.
And how much was it?
So it's $9.99 a month for the WWE Network.
Oh, that's
no.
not bad.
Oh, no. No, what's bad,
that's
is,
not
that
bad.
He, it, what's bad is that he has a WWE Network. Wait a minute.
It
so
allows
you
to watch any match from any time.
Including period. Pay-per-view.
Including pay-per-views.
So if I guess if you're a wrestling honk, that's a pretty good deal. However, you pay $120. I just did the quick math in my head. You pay $120 a month to get the wrestling channel.
You got to at least get WrestleMania. WrestleMania itself is worth
$120. I mean, I was about to say, like, if you did regular pay-per-view for WrestleMania, isn't it like, what, $60 or something like that?
Yeah, if anyone is still doing that, that is crazy at this point. They're paying $40, $50.
You're not one to tell people that they're crazy when it comes to... What about the Royal Rumble? Does that still exist?
Of course.
I love me some
every
Royal
January,
Rumble.
Every January. That is the most, I think. If you're trying to get someone to watch wrestling, you're a wrestling fan, bring him for the Royal Rumble.
For the record, that's the last time that I bought a wrestling pay-per-view. It was the Royal Rumble 1989, Pete.
I think to your point, as you get to be like my age is when you start to like maybe think about having children, and then you could get them into it, and then it gives you like more excuse to continue watching. I'm just not there yet in that aspect of my life.
You pay $120 a month for the wrestling channel. What's next?
The Royals were up 6-0 yesterday against the White Sox. Honestly, how surprised are you that they lost 7-6?
Most of the time when a team goes up a touchdown in baseball, the game's pretty much over. Unfortunately, the Royals missed the extra point, and the White Sox came back and scored 7 straight runs. How surprised am I, Cats? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1. This is probably the worst Royals team that I've ever seen. They're 38-86. I can't even do that big. What is that, like almost 50 games under 500? So it's shocking for any baseball team to get that far ahead and end up blowing the game. But anybody that's watched 2018 Kansas City Royals baseball knows this is kind of par for the course.
It's so sad. It's such a fall from grace. I just remember different ideas and thoughts being associated with the Kansas City Royals. Now it's just so sad. And even games like yesterday when in the second inning you're up 6-0, if your team is up 6-0 in the MLB, usually I don't care what inning that is, that should be pretty good. You should be good to go.
Maybe they should have gone for the 2-point conversion. Here's the problem. They're allowing their opponents to hit .277. As a team, the Royals are hitting .240. When it comes to the Royals' everyday lineup, Whit Merrifield is the only guy that's hitting over .277. Again, that's what the Royals allow every batter, .277. Not to mention the ERA is not great either, 5.31. At last check, the only team in baseball with a +5 ERA.
I still can't hate on people going to the ballpark, though. Maybe season tickets at this point, but I love going and the game could be whatever. It's just fun. It's a good environment at the K.
Unless SummerSlam's on or something. You know?
Correct. Yeah, of course.
What's next?
You and Pete were talking about Boggle before the show today.
Yeah, we were.
Where does that rank on your list of best board games ever?
There's some board games, Cats, that I'm pretty sure nobody's ever finished. Like, has anybody ever finished a game of Monopoly?
That's a good point.
I may have once or twice with family.
No,
we
you
spent
have not.
5 or 6 hours.
What about Mousetrap? Has anybody ever
never
said
heard of it?
You've never heard of Mousetrap?
Nope.
Then just pause your mic and Google it and just watch it on YouTube real quick.
Can we Postmates a Mousetrap in studio? Postmates it.
I don't see why not. I mean, Mousetrap might be the best board game. Connect Four, are we counting that as well?
Connect Four is great.
The good thing about board games is, as an adult, they've started to make their way into the bars.
Absolutely, yeah. Jenga is in every bar.
Jenga's all over, and it scares the hell out of me every time those things fall. You got Jenga, they got giant Connect Four boards. It's great. Here's my top 5.
Oh, wow.
Battleship, 5. Clue, 4. Risk, 3. Scrabble, 2. And the OG, Chess, number 1. It was tough
chess,
to leave off.
Dude.
I mean, it was hard to leave
chess
off.
Chess is heavy.
Chess is the thinking man's game, Pete. I judge people's intelligence off of if they at least play chess or not. Do you play chess?
That's a heavy game.
Do you play chess?
I've played before.
This man has the wrestling channel and doesn't play chess.
I've played before. Chess is a heavy game. Like, chess doesn't scream, this is going to be fun. You know what I mean? That's why I wouldn't be so as high on my list.
Shout out to Chinese Checkers, Operation Sorry, and Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Shoots and Ladders, too. Don't forget.
What's next?
Last weekend was nickname weekend around Major League Baseball. What athlete has the best nickname, and can you explain the origins of the sports machine nickname?
Yeah, I could do that for you. Best sports nicknames, OJ Mayo, the grocery list is his nickname. Get it? OJ, Mayo, deodorant. The grocery list? Are you kidding me? What a great nickname. Remember the old defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, Sean Smith, that had the problem he would do the old grab and twist, if you know, and they called him either the Nutcracker or the Genital Giant. Both great nicknames.
Speaking of that, how did Chris Jones get out of his whole combine situation without gaining a nickname?
I've tried to give him the nickname Junk Jones, and it hasn't stuck. So that's not on me. That's on everybody
else. I can maybe
else.
Help you with that with my influence that I
Please.
Have.
Please.
I'll try my best.
How does that not stick? Megatron's a great nickname. The Answer, Allen Iverson. Big Unit. Magic, now that I think about that, those are actually better adult film names, The Big Unit and Magic Johnson.
Even The Answer.
The origin of the sports machine. So here's how it happened. Anybody that used to go out to old Royal Stadium, not Kauffman Stadium, but Royal Stadium, before they made all the updates and when they actually had you couldn't walk around the outfield or whatever, they had the original scoreboard that was the huge crown with all the like old school light bulbs. It wasn't LED. It didn't do a whole lot of stuff, not a lot of bells and whistles. So between innings, all they would do is ask a trivia question, and then they would give you A, B, C, and D options. Well, I was like an 8-year-old kid with my uncle, and they asked the trivia question the first inning, and I got it right before they even gave the answers. And then the second inning, I gave the answer at third inning, and finally, the guys behind us who were boozing, they were like, "Who is this kid?" And my uncle goes, "That's Sean Levine." And then he goes, "Well, he's a sports machine." And then I proceeded to get the rest of the questions right, and the nickname ended up sticking. When I got into college radio at KU, I was thinking, what's just like a cheesy-ass nickname that I can go with? And I went with the sports machine, and I wasn't going to use it professionally once I actually got a job.
What happened?
both the bosses that I've worked for in Lawrence and Gopher John here at 610 love it. They call me the machine. If the boss calls you the machine, you got to go with the machine, right?
Like Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, you found May and now we're swinging in the machine.
Yes, we are. What's next?
Recently, Bill Snyder signed a 5-year extension. Excuse me.
You're good.
As the head coach for K-State. So which Bill is at their current job longer, Snyder or Self?
So Bill Self's been on the sidelines for 15 years, okay? If he's there for another 5, let's do some quick math. That's 20 years. That's Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski-type territory. Most of the time, even if you're at an elite program, Indiana, UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, well, save Kansas for that example, you don't stick around that long. Craziest stat I've ever heard. KU basketball has only had 4 head coaches since 1964. I'm going to say it again. KU basketball has only had 4 head coaches since 1964. I don't know who would be the next guy in line. I'm having trouble even coming up with a short list of names. Like, I suppose that you call Brad Stevens and see if he picks up your call, but I'm not sure that he does. In the case of Bill Snyder, man, he's 78 years old. He signed a 5-year contract extension. Again, let's do some quick math. That makes him 83 years old. That's the same age as my grandparents. My grandparents and I have a lot of trouble communicating. A couple of weeks ago, I asked them if I could bring one of my boys over, and they called my parents to question my sexuality. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes words don't mean the same things for different generations.
Correct.
And it's pretty impressive that Bill Snyder has been able to communicate with people literally 60 years younger than him. So I have to say Bill Self's around longer.
These guys are synonymous with their programs to this point, and for me, it's not equal because obviously Bill Snyder is K-State. But what I will say is you have to go to the age differential. It's just that is what it is for me. How long is Bill Snyder going to live?
He's going to sign another 10-year contract after this one. Last one.
Ole Miss Rebels have a new mascot, and as you would imagine, it is a shark.
Of course it's a shark.
Are there any local mascots you love or hate?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, and not because I'm a KU guy, but because you can't have a mascot that's half mascot, half human, and that's what Willie the Wildcat is. Like, fake Wildcat head, fake Wildcat torso, human hands, human legs.
I love the push-ups, though. The push-ups.
And I think that's the whole crux of it. Like, you can't be an actual mascot and do all those push-ups. So, shout-out to Willie the Wildcat. The Pitt State Gorilla is probably the best one, or maybe Casey Wolf.
Casey Wolf is, that just doesn't make any sense. That, I mean, I know the guy who does it, and he does a great job with it, but it's just why? Why do the Chiefs have a wolf?
Well, back in the day, it was called the Wolf Pack, was like the student, not the student section, the season ticket holders at Old Municipal Stadium. The only reason I know this is because my grandpa's told me the story 100 times. He used to go out there and watch Buck Buchanan. It was called the Wolf Pack. Now, why was it called the Wolf Pack back then? My best guess is because, I don't know, at some point Chiefs and Wolves were cool with each other. I don't know.
I'm looking at it. It always looks to me like a rat. Like, it looks like a little rat.
The Phoenix Suns have a gorilla as their mascot, Pete. That's Pete Sweeney. That's Jason Katz. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. Coming up next, we talk more red and gold. We talk Chiefs on 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
DJ Jason Katz got me bumping my head on a Monday morning.
Used to bump this football. Oh man. Right before we would do individual drills. Excuse me. Weird today. This would get me in the mood, though. So, it's football season, fellas.
See, I didn't play this before I played football, but I was only a 1-year football player. 8th grade, Harmony Middle School, B team. Undefeated, Pete. I made 3 sacks the whole season. I am not making this up. Back-to-back-to-back plays. Only game that my mom came to this day, my mom's convinced that I could have made it to the NFL.
Well, no, don't ever let that opinion be changed.
Levine, I got to top you here. State champions, undefeated senior year, Staley High School right here in Kansas City.
Is that right?
Final, my final football game in high school was at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis.
That's badass.
Pete, you went out on top.
Pete, what's your playing history?
I wrestled a bit in high school, which was fun, and then mostly just like wreck. I mean, I've never really been good enough to do.
All right, well, we'll talk.
Boy, you're a wrestler.
We'll talk about the pro football players then, because there's a lot of news involving the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's break down the division and pick who's got the best coach, who's got the best quarterback, running back, offense, defense, and who the best team overall is. But Pete, the news coming out of, well, first St. Joe, and then the first couple of preseason games. There's a lot of it. We talked about the offense. We'll get back into Patrick Mahomes. We'll get back into the health of the running backs. We'll talk about Sammy Watkins, why in the hell he's the fifth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. But let's go to the defensive side of the ball, because I don't think any of this is really going to matter. Like, people, there's a lot of people that are convinced that Travis Kelce entering, what is this, year six, year five full-time, is going to have a career season. Why isn't he going to? I mean, he looks the part, he acts the part, and now he's got the gunslinging quarterback. Tyreek Hill, if he's able to continue the incremental improvement that he had between year one and year two, there's no reason he's not a top five wide receiver. There's no reason that Kareem Hunt, I don't expect him to do what he did last year when he led the NFL in rushing yards, another 500 out of the backfield. But I do think that he can have similar numbers. But none of this is going to matter if the defense gives up 30, 32 points a game.
Right. And that's the big thing. I feel pretty good about the offense right now. I really do, because I believe in Andy Reid. It would be such a disappointment this season if the offense is as good as we think it's going to be, and they're putting up the 28, 35 points a game, and then the defense is making you lose like 8 or 9 games.
Based on what you know and based on what you've seen so far, isn't that exactly how this thing is going to play out? Isn't that why Las Vegas says this is a 500 football team?
I don't think you know. Just because we haven't seen Hitchens and Ragland in the middle yet in the preseason, and that to me is a game changer, and I think they're just being precautionary. And I also, Eric Berry plays such a huge role when he's on the field, both talking to the guys and what he brings to the table as far as his own self. And until we see the complete unit, it's hard for me to pass judgment. That being said, like, they're not healthy enough to be playing now, and that's not good either, and so that it's just, and the secondary, obviously the depth hasn't been great, because if you're going out and signing a guy like Orlando Scandrick, like, that's a problem.
That's a desperation move, and the problem is the rest of this division, I should say, on the defensive side of the ball, there's a lot of known commodities. What were you telling me about Khalil Mack, though, with the Raiders? He's pissed off.
So Khalil Mack, yeah, he just isn't playing enough, and so a lot of people are worried that maybe he won't even be a Raider. I saw some odds this weekend that said there's a greater chance that he's a Green Bay Packer than he is an Oakland Raider this season.
Wow.
And we have more information from Mike Florio. Mike Florio broke down that situation this past weekend.
That the Raiders made a run at trying to sign Mack back in February. And remember the mindset of John Gruden back in February. He was upset. He was ticked off. Now he's always upset and ticked off. I don't think he's happy unless he's upset. But he was upset because he couldn't do any work with his players. He couldn't bring them in. He wanted to get ready. And I think he wanted to do something tangible. So something very tangible would have been to get Khalil Mack signed. And when there was a clear impasse between what the Raiders were willing to pay and what Mack wanted, I believe at that point, Gruden said, let's just spend that money on other players. And spend that money they did. Some $55 million in 2018 dollars devoted to others that could have been part of the deal to get Mack done. And once that money was spent, the budget's not there. The money's not there. The cash isn't there to give Mack the kind of contract he's looking for, in large part because he's going to want full guarantees 2 or 3 years out. Money's going to have to be put in escrow. They just can't do it because they've already spent their money on other players. That's what I believe. I don't know that. That's what I believe.
Something tells me that the Raiders end up working that out. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's still on the back end of his first contract, who a lot of people think is one of, if not the best defensive player in football. Let's just assume that that works out in Oakland. We know what the Broncos have. They drafted Bradley Chubb with their first pick. They still have Chris Harris in the secondary. They still have Von Miller. We know what the Chargers have. You're talking about probably the best two-headed monster on the defensive line with Ingram and Bosa. The problem is, when it comes to known commodities, Pete, for the Chiefs defense, who's a guy or two guys? Actually, let's just start with a guy that you can point to and say, for sure, I know what I'm going to get from him. If your answer is Eric Berry, I say, are you sure? If it's Justin Houston, you don't. If it's Kendall Fuller, you don't. If it's Chris Jones, there's literally question marks for every player on that side of the ball.
there's no one you could say with 100% certainty you'll know what they be, unless you're just assuming that Anthony Hitchens translates from Dallas. And I don't know if you can necessarily assume that, because it's just a new, it's a new coach, new system, that type deal.
That's so crazy. Think about what we think we know heading into the season on the offensive side. Like, big question mark with Patrick Mahomes, but the rest of these guys, look, Sammy Watkins isn't great. I think I know what I'm going to get from him. Tyreek Hill, I'm pretty sure that I can predict close to what his stats are going to be. Same thing with Travis Kelce. On the defensive side of the ball, I agree with you. That's scary that there's not one guy you can point to and say, yeah, I know he's going to show out this year.
On the offense, you're right. I think the questions are maybe the guard positions, if you have one, and then what Sammy Watkins is going to be. But that's sort of the point, I think, of the Chiefs' defensive offseason, is that's why they went nearly an all-defensive draft. Five of the picks were defense, because...
Yeah, but that's an eye toward the future. It's not like you're going to plug those guys in right now.
I think Freeland Speaks might have a chance, and Derek Nnadi might have a chance, but you're correct. I don't think they'll be all down bat or all down players.
Am I a jerk for saying that Brett Veach's first handful of moves have reeked of desperation? Orlando Scandrick drafting all defensive players, signing Sammy Watkins to the fifth highest paid wide receiver contract in the NFL. Like, people were quick to talk smack on John Dorsey. What moves has he made before we actually see it play out that you can point to and say, man, I love that one?
Yeah,
letting Marcus Peters walk, is that the one?
I think you have an interesting point, but I don't think that the judgment is going to be passed on Brett Veach until we see what happens this season. But I'm telling you, I mean, I've been saying it a lot recently. If the offense is good and the defense is just bad again, I mean, someone's going to pay. I don't think it's going to be Brett Veach. I think this is Sutton's like last shot at this, and the defense needs to be at least good enough so the Chiefs have a winning record with Mahomes in the offense, because Mahomes in the offense should be pretty good. I think they should be pretty good, even though it's Mahomes' first real year as a starter.
So they signed Scandrick over the weekend, a move of desperation. I mean, David Amerson, I've gotten so used to seeing the back of his jersey, I figured that he's dressed like crisscross. You know, a Daddy Mac will make you. Is he wearing his jersey backward? Because all I've seen is Amerson.
Amerson, he does look like the new player that other quarterbacks are going to pick on, at least so far. But if you look at the PFF numbers, and PFF is used by teams across the league, a lot of the high-end analysts, Chris Collinsworth has a stake in it. PFF, 41.5 was Orlando Scandrick's grade last season. For comparison's sake, Kendall Fuller, a 90. Steve Nelson, who's actually been concussed, he was a 76.8 last year. David Amerson, 39.7.
What do these numbers mean? Is this a 100-point scale?
Yeah, so according to PFF, Orlando Scandrick is only slightly better than David Amerson.
What number did you put next to him? 50 something?
41.5.
I'm not making this up. The last philosophy class that I ever took at KU.
Uh-oh.
41.5%. That's not just an F.
That's what you got.
That is an F.
That's
F
a poor
right
score.
There. I mean, that is impressively bad.
That
right
is
there.
A dismal score.
I had no business.
That's an F.
It's almost a brother Pluto.
I had no business.
That's an E.
I had no business being in a 700-level philosophy class at KU.
Did you ever retake it?
Hell no.
Put that in the GPA, baby.
No, absolutely not. That's Ketz. That's Sweeney. I'm the sports machine. Coming up next, Sweeney, be honest with me now.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Tinder? You know how it works.
I'm not really, to be honest. I'm being completely honest. I don't do online.
Single guy, 2018, Kansas City? No Bumble for you? No Tinder? Are you embarrassed, man? Your cheeks are getting a little red.
No, I don't know.
No, swipe right, swipe left, try to find the love of your life without leaving your couch.
I have plenty of friends to do it. I just don't do it myself.
All right, well, coming up next, Pete's going to play Tinder for the first time. Super Bowl.
Should I download it?
Contender. Yeah, download it during the break. That's Pete Sweeney, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're talking all Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to do a segment about the most influential athlete ever. I think there's going to be a lot of Tiger Woods, some Michael Jordans, maybe some Muhammad Ali's. We'll visit that coming up in about 20 minutes. And don't go anywhere, because at noon, Pete, we're going to ask who's higher. But for those that don't know how Tinder works, all right, if you're interested in the picture that comes up on your screen, then you swipe right. If you see a future, if you see a night with
the
girl.
It's photo only?
What'd you think it was?
I thought there was like a profile to it.
There's a little bio on the description.
Yeah,
as well.
There is. You can say, I think, like 100 something letters or whatever, characters about yourself.
140 characters or less.
What do you have on yours?
I suppose if you're, I'll tell you in a second, but I suppose, I suppose if you're really good looking, you don't really have to have a lot of words, right? You can just kind of say, look at these dimples or whatever. In my case, right, not the best looking guy in the world.
You got to trick
him. Exactly. You have to like be clever. So I think that mine mentions like that I got a new puppy and that I live downtown and
wow.
I may or may not have mentioned I talk about sports on there. I will have to look during the break. Honestly, it's been so long since I changed my profile, but you're either too cool for school or you really haven't been on Tinder. So let me explain to you how it works. If you're interested in the person that pops up on your screen, you swipe to the right. It's very shallow, Pete. Very shallow.
Yeah.
If not, you swipe left and you never have to deal with them again. We got this text on the Pepper Jack's Grill famous Philly text line from the 816. My brother met his now wife on Tinder 2 or 3 years ago, and they got married this year. And he also suggested that their slogan should be love at first swipe. I don't know if it is or isn't, but that's sir.
Good little pun on words.
You are a genius. So that's how it works. Fire me up some romantic music if you had it. And let's play a quick game of Super Bowl contender. So
Ketz
will give us a name, and then you're swiping left or right if you think the following team is a Super Bowl contender.
Numero uno, the Lambo Leapers, the Green Bay Packers.
Obviously, the Patriots, we're not going to talk about them. We all know that they're a contender. The Packers, is there a team in football that goes as their quarterback goes more than the Green Bay Packers? Boy, did they become a very average team. They became a bad football team last year with Aaron Rodgers gone, but he is still the best, I would say, right now. I mean, it's between him and Tom Brady as the GOAT. When it comes to that position, are they a Super Bowl contender? Man, the Minnesota Vikings, that division, are really good, but I'm swiping right, Pete. A healthy Aaron Rodgers means yes, you are.
Right all day. I mean, they have Aaron Rodgers. If you have a quarterback that is in the top five, you're an automatic right. I mean, you go as your quarterback goes, and I think you see that in Kansas City now, and I think that's why people are so excited as they finally feel like they have that type of guy.
Ketz, you see what's going on here? He's a newbie to Tinder. He's one of those guys going to start swiping right, and the next thing you know is he's out of likes. And
wait, your Tinder game's got to be strong there, right, Pete. I like
Do we
it.
Only have a limited amount of rights?
No, you could, well, let's see. You just keep swiping right if you feel like it, dude. All right.
Hope they like me.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
So every now and again, you'll see a girl on Tinder that, like, she's got some appealing attributes, right? Like, she mentions that she's got a piercing or that she graduated from Columbia or something. But then again, like, there's other reasons why you're not swiping to the right. That's what the Jacksonville Jaguars are to me. They're a conundrum, but you'll learn when it comes to Tinder, Pete, that if you're thinking about swiping right, if any bone in your body says, should I, you might as well. So I'm swiping right.
It sounds like there's no reason not to constantly, on the real Tinder, swipe right. Just constantly.
Well, you do eventually run out of matches.
Oh,
so that's the only reason why you wouldn't.
Okay. I would swipe right on the Jags. I like the Jags, and I always like teams that have good defenses. And this is sort of my opposite point from last one. You can't count out the Packers ever because of Aaron Rodgers. You can't count out the Jaguars because of that defense. And I think Calais Campbell, that signing changed the game for the Jags, and it's driven them into one of the better teams in the AFC.
I should have mentioned, Tinder has something called the Super Like, which I don't
have use. You ever gotten the Super Like?
I think I've gotten 3 or 4 in my Whoa. Tinder career. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Wow.
I think maybe it puts them like to the front of your queue. But if one of these teams comes up that you super like, that you're like sure is going to be in the Super Bowl, feel free to super like them, Pete. All right, what's the next one, Ketz?
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Nice.
Phyllis Rivers is their quarterback, and sometimes...
Mr. Punch Me Face.
Well, sometimes in life, we don't date people because we don't like their name. Again, maybe that's a little shallow. Maybe I'm the only person that's done this. But back in the day, I broke up with a girl because her name was Tanya. I just didn't see a future with myself and a girl named Tanya. And Phyllis Rivers is their quarterback. Don't like the name Phyllis. Don't like the name Tanya. Sorry, Chargers. You're swiping to the left.
My thing is, prove it to me already. We talk about the Los Angeles Chargers before the games start every single year, and I say we, just like in sports media in general, national sports media, national narratives, the Chargers. And then they'll enter the first 3 or 4 games. They'll either be 1-3, 0-4. They'll have 10 injuries, which you're already seeing again. I'm swiping. What is the other? What's the wrong way? Left.
Left.
I swipe left on the Chargers. Screw the Chargers.
The Chiefs' kryptonite in the playoffs, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They're the only team that you might be able to argue has better skill position players on offense than the Chiefs. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is the best running back in football. Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver. I think Ben Roethlisberger has maybe 2 or 3 decent years left. So I'm swiping to the right for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I love that offense, too. Juju Smith-Schuster, to me, is a number one probably almost everywhere else in the league, potentially. I love that kid. I think they have a lot to offer. And, again, if you go back to the quarterback, I'm swiping right on the Steelers as well.
What's his name? Jar Jar Smith. Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, God.
What's next?
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs.
Who?
Yeah, you've heard of them. I would love to swipe to the right with the Kansas City Chiefs and say that they are a Super Bowl contender. I'm a bit of a homer. I think that if things go well for this team, if Patrick Mahomes is Deshaun Watson, and that's a huge if, then they win 12 or 13 games, and maybe they do get to an AFC Championship game. Dream with me for a minute to a Super Bowl. But as I see them right now, based on mainly the defensive side of the ball, I don't think they're more than a 9, maybe 10-win football team. 9 and 10-win football teams generally don't go to the Super Bowl. I hate to do it. I'm swiping to the left.
You know, it's funny. The two times you've mentioned how much of a homer you are this show are like super negative Chiefs points. But I'll say
this. I prefer realistic Chiefs points.
Because we're talking about the Super Bowl, you know, this is Super Bowl contender. It's hard for me to give the Kansas City Chiefs a right swipe. Do I think they have a real legit chance to make the playoffs? Absolutely. But Super Bowl contenders, I got to swipe left.
Let's go up I-35 and talk about the Minnesota Vikings.
That's another team with some serious offensive weapons. If you think about Dalvin Cook, who got injured last year, and you've got Adam Thielen, you've got Stephon Diggs. That's a hell of a talent.
Kirk Cousins now, though.
How much do you believe in Kirk Cousins?
Not a ton.
The Redskins thought that Alex Smith was a better option than Kirk Cousins, so I'm Super Bowl contender, I can't do it. I'm swiping to the left for the Vikings.
I would agree. I like Stephon Diggs a lot, and I don't believe in Cousins. I think like the Vikings have, and so to me, hard for me to put. It's hard for me to always put my name on a team with a quarterback who I think cannot make the Super Bowl.
I don't believe in any of those quarterbacks that had a career year last year. Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, or Alex Smith. I think that's exactly what they had. A career year.
The only time you do it, and I've done it earlier in this game, is when they're the Jags, when the defense is that good, and I don't feel amazing about the Vikings defense. Left.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Definitely swiping to the right. Last year they averaged 30 points per game, which was the best in the NFL. According to Las Vegas, the Patriots are 6-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. The second best odds, Pete, the Rams at 10-1. Swiping to the right, they're absolutely a Super Bowl contender.
I like swiping to the right here because I think about Marcus Peters and I think about all the players that they've...
Aqib Talib, he'll snatch your chain twice.
Dominican Sue as well. And so to me, they've loaded up. The key for this team is going to be winning early. If they get into a situation like the Chiefs did a few years ago where they're 1-5 and you have all those personalities in that locker room and that thing implodes, you ain't making the Super Bowl. For now, I'll swipe right.
Speaking of 1-5 out the gates, this Chiefs schedule, his first six games, Patrick Mahomes is going to face three future Hall of Fame quarterbacks on the road. Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and a guy that you've probably heard of, Tom Brady.
The New Orleans Saints.
I think their offense is really good. I'm not sure that I believe in their defense. And Drew Brees got really old really fast last year. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm swiping to the left.
I saw Drew Brees the other day on a quarterback challenge that their Twitter put out, and he is just still a precision passer. So I still like Drew Brees. I mean, I think Tom Brady's proving that you can be old and be a quarterback in this league. I don't feel good about the defense either. There's nothing really that jumps out to me. Former Chief Kurt Coleman's on that team now. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me, again, to just think they're a Super Bowl caliber team, so I'm going to swipe left.
One of the cool things about this gig is getting to interview these players, go in the locker rooms and all that stuff, and two guys blew my mind how small they were when I saw them in person. By the way, I'm talking about their height since I'm mentioning the locker room and their size. I feel like I should be specific with that. Drew Brees was miniature.
A baby.
And Chase Daniel was like 3'8". I couldn't believe
I've been next to Chase
how lack
Daniel.
Of tall he was.
I've been next to Chase Daniel. I've never been next to Drew Brees. I didn't realize he was a little guy.
That's Ketz. That's Sweeney. I'm the Machine. 1 hour in the books coming up next. We get back into the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, if you want to talk Chiefs, dial me up at 913-576-7610. Sweeney and the Machine on 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios. 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.